into shallow center, making the catch of Stephen Kwan. Ball game. And the Guardians have taken the last three games after losing the opener on Thursday night. And Trevor Stephan, with his first save of the season and the fifth in his major league career.
There you go, a little bit of a recap of how the weekend went, which began on Thursday, so to speak. And here to talk Guardians baseball this morning, it's brought to you by your North Ridgeville Convenience, Sunoco, Center Ridge, and Barton Roads. Bob DiBiasio joining us every Monday. So we're doing pretty good to start off this 2023 season. How about that, Bob?
Yeah, good morning, boys. A wonderful start. When you go into a place like Seattle, you know, a postseason team a year ago, that place gets loud and crazy and a tough place to play. So you open the season there for four. You're hoping that you can get a split and walk out of there 2-2 and be happy. And our guys were able to bounce back from an opening day loss and win three straight. And, you know, the one game our offense did the job with Stephen Kwan getting five RBIs, and then the bullpen the last couple days just outstanding. So it and Aaron Civale, of course, pitching a gem the other day. So, yeah, a wonderful trip. Now we're off to Oakland for three. Off day Thursday, and then the home opener on Friday.
All right, we'll get to talking all about the home crowd in just a little bit, but I found the funny thing from this weekend, and I was listening, I think it was yesterday's game might have been, is the crowd gets to count down the pitch clock. It seems like a new thing now that's going to happen.
you're gonna
hear that when it gets intense. Instead of that, you just hear this 5-4. It's a crazy thing. And then Tom goes, you know, if the crowd really wanted to do it, they could miscount and confuse the guy out there. I mean, but I'm thinking if you get 30,000 people to agree to do that, you've got some power over them. But I think this might be a new thing, unless maybe it's just unique to Seattle, counting down the pitch clock. That's funny.
Yeah, it was interesting. It did not happen, obviously, in spring training games. So that was a first for us to be involved in something like that. Crowds at spring training, a little bit more laid back. Seattle's a pretty raucous place, so I don't know if that's going to be true in most places, but we'll see if that happens around baseball. But, yeah, that's an interesting dynamic to the pitch clock, batter clock, whatever you want to call it. I'm more of the opinion that we should call it a batter clock, because once the pitcher receives the ball, he has 15 seconds to throw the ball to home plate, where the batter must be in the batter's box and engaged with the pitcher at the 8-second mark. And the pitcher really doesn't have to throw the ball till 1 second. So the batter has to be engaged and in the box and getting ready before the pitcher delivers the ball. We've had a couple this, you know, first four games of, violations of the clock. I think you're going to see that throughout the year as everybody just learns how to deal with it.
Well, let's talk about Mr. Heron yesterday. You talk about the bullpen. I'm going to play this one highlight. This is kind of the end of the big
now
event.
Now the set in the 2-2. And strike three called. How about this debut by Tim Heron? Four major league hitters, all retired via the strikeout. Six in the books.
Now, before we get to his talent, I always like sort of that behind-the-scenes things. And we've talked about this before, about how at times if there's a major leaguer who's getting his debut, there's a little bit more care, a little bit understanding the moment for that individual player. He talked afterwards how it was, parents were able to get in there to be seeing him. And then he said something about, they took my jersey to be authenticated. I wasn't sure what that was all about.
Well, the interesting thing is when somebody does something like that, especially a rookie, you scurry to the record books. And Sarah Langs of MLB.com, an incredible researcher, and Elias Sports Bureau both agreed that a rookie pitcher had not faced four batters and struck out all four. I think the first time or the last time it happened was 1860 something or something of that nature, 1890 something. Since 1901, it never happened. So, yeah, the young man, what a story. Indiana University, drafted in the 29th round. I think he was like number 883 or something like that. And big kid, 6'5", throws hard, throws in a, you know, mid to upper 90s. And to be able to come in and have your parents there, they actually, because he did not get in the first three games, they switched their flight to a red eye coming home on Sunday. And he got into the ball game and did something no other rookie pitcher has done in American League history. So thus you get your uniform authenticated.
Bob, in recent years we've talked about how swinging for the fences has sort of become the norm of the game. Do you think any of these recent rule changes will impact how the game is played?
Absolutely. No question. We were a team a year ago that, you know, the swing for the fences and it's okay to strike out was a philosophy that we were not going to live by, that we were going to have a disdain for striking out, and that we were going to work to put the ball in play and run the bases aggressively and steal bases. We were a team built on and are a team built on pitching and catching the ball. But let's add this dynamic to who we are offensively, and I think you're going to see other teams fall in line with that, that with the shift being outlawed, you have an opportunity to spray the ball a little bit more, and some people would call that old-fashioned baseball.
Well, we've enjoyed our talk this morning. It's always fun talking over a weekend after we've got some solid victories. Now it's on to Oakland before we come home for Progressive Field. What excitement can you tell us about the Friday opener at Progressive Field?
Well, Curtis would get mad at me if I shared what's happening with the anthem and first pitch. That's not quite ready to be announced yet, but, you know, we will honor John Adams. So I think that's one thing on our fans' minds. We will honor John Adams appropriately on opening day. And, you know, let's hope we just have some sunshine, no rain, and have a wonderful day with all the pageantry and fun that is opening day. It'll be the 123rd opening day in Cleveland as a member of the American League.
Wow, that sounds great. Well, we look forward to talking to you next Monday after the homestand. Of course, we'll be talking with you on the day that the Yankees will be in town as well. And we remember the last time we played them. So let's look forward to this fun homestand. Look forward to a big crowd and a lot of fun for people to enjoy the baseball this year with the Guardians. Bob, we appreciate your time this morning. Thanks for sharing with us this morning.
Thank you, boys. Bob. Yeah, thanks, boys. Have a great week. Go Guardians.
Bob DiBiasio brought to you on WEOL by your North Ridgeville Convenience and Oco at Center Ridge and Barton Road.